Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Time to review a sermon. We should do this more often. This is a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. The Reformation is a time, you know, I think even pastors that find themselves in the Reformation, the stream of the Reformation, are a little uncomfortable, just a little uncomfortable observing Reformation because it can and has in the past turned into kind of the history lesson. What should be preached on Reformation? What was preached during the Reformation? Those are the kind of questions that you want to think about when you're listening to a sermon that's occasional like this, if they call it an occasional sermon, something that has an occasion attached to it. But what should you be listening to every Sunday? What should you be listening for every Sunday? As you search the scriptures with your pastor, he stands there in the pulpit and he opens the Bible. He says, I'm going to be preaching on this following text. Well, Jesus says to his opponents that when you search the scriptures, you should be looking for him. These are the scriptures that testify of me. You search them, for in there you think you find eternal life, and that's good, something good to look for. But if you don't find Jesus crucified for you in the scriptures, you can search all you want, and you will miss the point. So what should you be listening for on Sunday? And I mean Sunday in, Sunday out. You should be listening for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus tells us what to look for, as do the prophets, including John the Baptist. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He could have said a lot of things about Jesus at that crucial moment in his ministry, but he cuts right to the chase, and he shows them the Jesus who bears their sins into death and sacrifice for the whole world. And the Holy Spirit, who everybody wants to talk about having Spirit-filled messages, or the Spirit is at work in this church. If the Spirit is at work, guess what you'll be hearing Sunday in, Sunday out? You'll be hearing Christ and him crucified. Because Jesus tells us the Spirit of truth, the one I will send to you from the Father, when he comes, he will testify of me. Not to mention, Jesus has given a message to the church. And it's not just whatever people want to hear, or what seems fitting for the Sunday, or what comes to mind in the preacher's musings on Saturday night. But no, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, should be preached in my name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Well, there it is. And as far as I can tell, repentance and the forgiveness preached in my name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem doesn't leave a Sunday where you go on to talk about other things, where you give Jesus and his cross the Sunday off. St. Paul says, I was determined, he says this to the Corinthians, determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That's the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. So we have a very sound template that tells us what we ought to be listening for when we listen to a Christian sermon. That's why we have this three-part diagnostic that we use to review sermons here on Issues, etc. It's very simple. Listen for Jesus. Is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned, not God generically, not our Creator. All of those things are good and fine, but it needs to be specific. We have a specific problem, sin and death, and we have a specific solution, which is the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus himself. How many times is Jesus mentioned? And this doesn't tell you anything, except if you can't put a single hash mark on your bulletin and Jesus isn't mentioned, this was not a Christ-centered sermon. It wasn't even a Christian sermon. Second part of the diagnosis, if Jesus is mentioned, then is he the subject of the verbs? Is he the one running the verbs, doing the doing? Is it Jesus and what he's done for you, or conversely, as is so often heard, you and what you do for Jesus, or you and what you do for anyone else? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three of the diagnostic, which is, what are the verbs? I heard a pastor on the radio very recently, and every other word out of his mouth was, Jesus empowers, Jesus empowers, Jesus empowers. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Jesus who empowers, but that's Jesus did not come to empower. What does he say? I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. The problem with words like empowers, inspires, motivates, that's all very therapeutic. That's all very good. If your goal is simply to help, have someone help you do what you need to do, but Jesus didn't come to help you do what you need to do. He came to do it in your place, a perfect life, laid down at the cross, and taken up again in his resurrection. If you're not hearing that every Sunday, then you're not hearing Christ-centered preaching. So is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Is this the Jesus who lives and suffers and dies for you? The sermon comes from Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. It's preached on the occasion of the Reformation. Don Matzett is not only pastor there, but he's a former host of Issues, etc.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read in the Gospel, in the Epistle lesson, Romans 3, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. If you go into any books of history that list for you the great events in the history of the world, I'm sure that you would discover that one of the events that is mentioned, probably listed in the top 10, would be the 16th century Reformation. The event that was initiated on October 31st of 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. As the Reformation developed, the primary issue that was at the heart and core of the Reformation was a question of how does a person become righteous before a holy and righteous God? How can a person stand before a holy and righteous God? That was the issue. And out of that came what we talk about as the great doctrine of justification by grace through faith on account of Christ alone. That a man is righteous before God, not based on their good works or their obedience to the law, but rather based upon the very righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. That righteousness which God has imputed unto us, put to our account, given to us as a gift, that our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That we stand before God, not robed in our own righteousness or good deeds, but rather in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it was that truth that emerged at the time of the Reformation that had a major impact upon the world in those days, at that time, in that century. But you have to wonder if the same discovery in Scripture took place today, if some Roman Catholic priest somewhere in the world began to teach that we are not saved by our good works, but rather we are saved because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, would anybody care? Would it make the news? Would CNN say, big event taking place today in Germany, some Roman Catholic monk had the audacity to suggest that we are made righteous before God, not based on our own good works and intentions, but based on the very righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ, an event that will have major implications for our world. I doubt it, don't you? I don't think anybody really would take notice if such a discovery took place in our day and in our age. Because you see, the impact of an event is to a great extent determined upon the mindset of the people among whom that event takes place. What is the thinking of the people? What is their consciousness? What are their priorities? What is very important to them? What kind of a truth that you bring to them would have an impact upon them because of the manner in which they think? Today, the issue of sin is really not a burning issue as it was in the 16th century. Now, of course, the thing that initiated the Reformation was the selling of an indulgence. An indulgence was a decree from the church that various sins have been forgiven and that you have escaped temporal punishment for those sins. And people would buy an indulgence from the church. Interesting, in 1543 at the Council of Trent, the Roman Catholic Church determined that you couldn't sell these things anymore. But at that time, this was being sold to raise money for the construction of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Think about it. What kind of a culture would you have where the selling of indulgences would be a viable fundraising effort?
We're listening to a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. Listening for Jesus, how often he's mentioned. Is he the subject of the verbs? He mentions a fundraising effort. I was speaking at a congregation yesterday about, on a Reformation Sunday, about the efforts to raise money by selling of indulgences. And it struck me as I was speaking that the church even today, not even going back to the 16th century, the church even today is very deft at finding ways to turn even the most sacred doctrines or its worst errors into a fundraising opportunity. Not much has changed. We'll be right back with more sermon review after this.
Salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon his word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You can also contribute by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing a sermon by Pastor Don Matzett on Reformation Sunday from Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. He set up the story, the history of the event. He tells us they were selling the forgiveness of sins back in the 16th century.
Can you imagine if we want to raise money to air condition our church and somebody in the voters' assembly suggests, why don't we sell indulgences? I think we'd have a better shot at getting lottery tickets. Because would anybody buy an indulgence? Does anybody really care? We say, I'm going to forgive your sins. Oh, how much will it cost? $50. Oh, it's worth it. $50 to get my sins forgiven. I wonder sometimes, what is more important? You think of the culture in which we are living, the mindset of the people today, and what they think about. In the 16th century, the issue of sin was prominent. The issue of escaping the judgment of God was prominent. You think of the manner in which Luther functioned as a monk, so concerned about the fact that he had sinned against God and that there was a hell that was waiting for him and that he had to escape the punishment of hell. And he sought for ways to get out from under this burden of his sins, which weighed heavily upon him. What's more important to us today? The issue of sin, or whether the Steelers beat Oakland? I won't ask you to answer. What is more important to us today? Whether we go to heaven or they go to the Super Bowl? What is more important to us today? Our security in heaven or the security for our retirement? Stop and think about these things. Because it does seem to me that in the day in which we are living, if the event of the Reformation took place today, if that discovery in the book of Romans that a man is justified by faith, not based on the keeping of a law, if that event took place today, nobody would care. It wouldn't make the news. Nobody would give a hoot. Because that whole issue of my sin, God's judgment, my fear, heaven, hell. How much time do you spend thinking about it? How prominent is it in your consciousness? I imagine that very often in church when we confess, Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, you might be looking around to seeing who's sitting around you. Or if the absolution is proclaimed, your sins are forgiven. I don't know how many of you would jump up in the air for joy and say, whoopee, my sins are forgiven. I don't think it's all that important today. Now, I'm not condemning you. Or me, for that matter, because whatever I preach, I first have to run through my own consciousness and ask myself the question, what's more important to me? Whether or not my sins are forgiven or whether Big Ben throws successfully this afternoon. We all have those priority issues. We all ask the question in terms of what are the driving issues that confront my life from day to day. And of course, there are many Christian churches today who have raised the issue of proclaiming messages that affect the felt needs of people. And there are those within the church who would say that the basic felt needs of people today are really not for the forgiveness of sins. That's not at the top of the list. And so there are some churches who might preach the cross of Jesus Christ once a year on Good Friday. The rest of the time, they tell you how Jesus will help you make it through a bad hair day. Or what principles are necessary for you to be a good husband or a good wife. Or how to raise sweet little loving children. You see, many churches today focus on that because they sense that people sitting in the pews aren't really interested in knowing how to get righteous before God. It's not one of the primary questions. And I guess we're not stupid enough or smart enough to go along with that present trend so that we come in here every Sunday and we preach that same old message of someone dying on a cross to forgive your sins, and somebody sitting out there may yawn and say, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, someone forgave my sins, whoopee. How important is it? And if the Reformation occurred today, would anyone care? And if some Roman Catholic monk discovered that we're not saved by our good works, oh, good deal. I'm free. I don't have to worry about being saved by my good works anymore. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And you wonder, would anybody really care? It's just the way it is. So we celebrate this archaic, earth-shattering event of the Reformation. Why? Because there's reality that does exist, whether we consciously choose to acknowledge it, think about it, worry about it, or not. There's reality that exists, whether or not we choose to be conscious of it, or give it too much time. I imagine, and maybe this is something that hopefully will occur in our thinking, maybe one night you have a vision of the absolute holiness of God. And in your vision, you see this utter perfection of God, who will judge the living and the dead. And in your vision, you catch another glimpse of the incredible horror of hell. And perhaps you have a dream of what it means to be separated for all eternity from the absolute holiness and perfection of God. And in your vision, you catch a glimpse of the horrors of a hellish eternity. And then in part three of your vision, you get to see yourself uncovered. The veil is taken back, and the issue of self-esteem is no longer prominent. And now you begin to see your flaws, your failures, your sins, the recorded history of everything you have said, thought, and done contrary to what God wanted. And you see those three things clearly. The absolute holiness of God, the utter hell of hell, and the reality of your sin. How important would it be for someone to say to you, do you realize your righteousness before God is based on the perfect holiness of His Son Jesus and what He has done for you? If your consciousness was plagued each day by the reality of sin, the reality of the truth that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law would change your life, change our world, if we were conscious of those issues. May God make us conscious of those issues, because that reality does exist. May God rescue us from placing our focus and consciousness upon things that really make little difference, and focus on those things which have eternal significance. And I could say that to you, and say that to you, and say that to me, but until there's an invasion from without that assures me of the importance of those truths, yet we're all going to continue to be infected by the thinking of the world, and that is the sin of our age, the sin of complacency. the sin of being focused upon those things that are totally meaningless in the eternal scope of things. The Reformation changed the world in the 16th century. And when people heard the good news that was uncovered, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Finally, we're out from under the demands of the law, and we could trust our Lord Jesus and his righteousness for our salvation. Hallelujah! We have been set free from the burdens of the law because of what Jesus has done. Wow. Very significant. Amen.
Well, a fitting diagnosis of the need, if you ask me, of the need for a continued reformation, a continued emphasis. You know, all it takes is for the church to continue to preach the message of the cross. It's Pastor Don Matzett, preaching a Reformation sermon. He's host emeritus. Is that the new title now? Host emeritus of Issues, etc. All it takes is for the church to continue to do what St. Paul says he had to do, preach Christ and him crucified every sinner, every Sunday, every opportunity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.